Hampton Weekends here.
Hey, it's here. Time for a couple of football games.
You don't sound so excited because you're already used to this kind of situation. This is now your seventh straight year. If I'm not mistaken, this is what I think in the Brady Belichick era, they've gone to what? In the 17 years they've been together or whatever, what, 11 championship game appearances? I believe that's the number.
I'm going to go with 12.
It is 12, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's in that ballpark. So, it's just like, not to get cocky here for you, but this is no day of the office for you now.
Hey, it's no big deal. I mean, hell, the other great quarterbacks have done this, right? This has been done before, hasn't it?
No. I don't think. I think Montana's gone to maybe what 8 or 9 title games in the NFC. He had a short career, of course, but
I'm not sure.
I don't think it's that high. I don't think it's that high for Montana either. I think he won 4 Super Bowls. I don't think they lost more than 1 or 2 NFC title games. So correct. Yeah, it's a low number. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, lost those 2 losses to the Giants.
But there's still these guys who make the argument that he's better. God bless him.
Well, you know how I feel about that already. You already know how I feel about the Brady Montana argument and this overall scope of quarterbacks all time and what are the greatest dynasty. I was saying that, and God's a witness, and you know this, and this podcast knows this. I was saying Brady was the greatest all time at 3 Super Bowls. I didn't need 4 or 5.
Well, I mean, I was a Montana fan before I was a Brady fan. I grew up, you know, obviously in New England, and we sucked, so I kind of looked around, and hey, this Joe guy's pretty good, so I followed Joe, and how can you not be a Joe fan? And the guy was a winner. So yeah, I got on the Joe bandwagon. The guy was great, but he's not, and you were first. You passed the torch to Brady even before I did.
Yep.
But I just don't see how you can still make the argument.
No, I mean, it really can't. If you're making the argument about Brady and it's not, and you still try to figure it out, then you're just being a hater at this point. What you're doing is just, you sound foolish, honestly. Oh, the system quarterback. Right. Every quarterback plays in the system, but not every quarterback can excel in the system. So that's a weak argument. So, I mean, at some point, that has to go away.
And I don't want to get into it now. I mean, we'll save this for another podcast about the whole Joe and Tom thing, because I mean, I just think the opposing argument for Joe is just weak, and I've got a good analogy I want to use, but I don't want to get into it now. But
yeah, we'll have all off season to, especially if the Patriots do win their 6th Super Bowl in a few weeks, then that opens the conversation again for this. So, yeah. All right, so rather than get to legacy talk here, we still got games to play. We got 2 more games this weekend before we know who will be in the Super Bowl this coming season. First game first. I mean, obviously, you know what's going on. The Jaguars come down to New England face the Patriots. Obviously, for a whole year long, everybody's saying, even us, Steelers, Patriots, and the Jaguars spoiled that party pretty handily last week. And I got to tell you, and I said on the podcast 2 weeks ago, that while everyone, including myself, wanted to see Steelers-Patriots, and yes, I did want to see the rematch, I was always intrigued by the idea of a Jaguars-Patriots matchup for one reason only. I wanted to see how well that Jaguars defense could match up against Brady and Gronk and all those guys on a big stage. And we get that now. Now the big story now was becoming a bigger story. I did my solo show a couple days ago, and the Brady injury, and I was saying it's not a big deal. Thumb, whenever he'll be right by Sunday, but now it's getting some legs here now. Tom Brady didn't miss practice yesterday with the team. There was a picture of him in a splint, and so it lends to the question: will Brady be able to be effective this Sunday? Are you concerned about Brady at all this Sunday?
No. Not even close. If I don't see him out there, I mean, I'll be stunned and amazed. But no, there's no way. He's playing it in the game. And even Doug Marone said he's not worried about it. He knows he's playing. Even if he's going to throw left-handed, Brady's playing. Brady is playing. There's no doubt in my mind, and it's just it's a story to grab onto. It's something to do. But if you're really going out there, like the guy on the NFL Network was saying all the stuff about, well, Brian Hoyer could suit up. He's got, you know, experience. I mean, come on. If you're in New England, and this guy's a New England sportscaster, he even goes by the name Randy Moss, which is a joke.
I know that guy.
Yeah. So if you're out there promoting this story that Brian Hoyer could start, you might, and you're getting paid, yeah, and I envy you that you're getting paid to do that. But if that's your stick, I mean, you should just be doing time and weather on some radio station. Time and weather. It's 8:13 in Boston. It's 50 degrees and cloudy. That should be the extent of your talent. I don't want to hear Brian Hoyer could play. Shut up. Find something else to talk about.
You said
about.
That?
Brian Hoyer, not, Brian
you said
Hoyer
that?
Is not playing. It's possible that Brian
wow.
Hoyer could see some time. He's a capable backup with NFL experience. Shut up, Randy Moss. And get another name. I mean, yeah.
Randy Cross? Oh, that's gone.
Brady is playing.
I would say Randy Cross, but no. Well, and again, he's doing that. I mean, a lot of that is also to I won't say ratings, but a lot of it's to shock value to keep the conversation interesting. And that's typical TV, especially now in 2018. That's what we do.
It's just a dumb narrative.
The one thing I will say about that, and I agree with you. I'm totally on your side. I think Brady will not be a big issue. He will figure it out and all that. But I was listening to one of my colleagues, a person that I truly enjoy. It's a Boston-based podcast. It's Danny Picard Show, which I'm a big fan of. And he was actually on the air while the news broke about Brady and him missing practice last week. Yesterday. And on his show, he was very in his Worcester voice, very panicky, you know, and very like, oh my god, and the spread and all that stuff was starting to shake a little bit. I think Brady will be fine. I think this is actually more Patriots mumbo jumbo. You know how they do this? They put Brady on the injury list every week as questionable, but you know he's playing, obviously. I think it's more of a Pats mumbo jumbo, just trying to throw people off us a little bit. By Sunday, it'll be forgotten about, and you'll be playing the game. And I think he'll be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, and if they lose, I don't want to hear any excuses either. Because I mean, he's going to play, and even if his hand was broken, he's going to play. Okay, I mean, this is a tough guy. He doesn't miss games. I mean, he's probably been injured. And we didn't even know the extent of it. And he's gone out there and didn't have a great Brady-like game. And I'm sure there was some sort of nagging injury that he didn't disclose, which is probably, you know, illegal. But the guy wants to play. The guy's going to play. He's not going to miss any games. I mean, he had to tear his knee up to get him out of the lineup back in L.A. And he's never missed anything before or since. He's going to play.
Now let's take off your Patriot hat for a second and talk about the Jaguars. 10-6 here, 1-2 playoff game so far. Obviously, many people think the Pats will win this game. I think it's clear to say that 90% of the public think the Pats will win this game. However, if the Jags and this is analyzing from a Jags perspective here, what do the Jags need to do to win this game and pull off one of the bigger upsets in modern football history, I guess, really. I mean, it would be a big upset if they would have actually pulled this off at Foxborough. What do you think the Jags need to do to have a chance to win this game?
Sell their souls to the devil.
Oh, no.
This is the Jaguars. I mean, they're trying to hype you guys up as the 80-85 Bears, 1,000 Ravens. They gave up over 500 yards in offense last week to Pittsburgh. Tomlin made some questionable calls. Bortles had an okay game. Pittsburgh made some mistakes. I mean, Belichick is not going to make the same mistakes that Tomlin made. Tomlin is a good coach, but there's only one Belichick. Belichick is not going to, you know, coach them into a corner and use up timeouts that don't need to be used up and make an onside kick that doesn't need to be done. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to throw that questionable fourth down call against the Indy a couple of years ago. But that's just the fourth down calls that they made in that game were very questionable. And I'll swear to the day I die that they made that first down against Indy, back in, I think it was 06.
The Colts pass game from 09?
Was it 09? I thought it was early in there.
It was the Kevin Falk game, right?
Yeah.
That was like a week 12 game, though, against the Colts.
That wasn't a playoff game?
No, that was a week 12 game. I remember that game. It was a Sunday night game, but it cost the Pats home field. Really, that was one of the more, I would say, I won't say mediocre. It was one of the more mediocre Pats teams in this run. Like that was the team that lost to Baltimore in the first round.
Okay, but I'm just saying that Belichick's not going to make some of the play calling that Tomlin and Haley did.
Still,
I mean, they scored enough points on Jacksonville to win the game. The point I'm trying to make is Jacksonville's defense, while it is good, it is a top-five defense, it's way overhyped. They are not the 85 Bears. They are not the 2000 Ravens. They played in a crappy division. They outlasted Tennessee. Tennessee could have easily, have won that division. We'd be talking about Tennessee right now.
Okay.
I just think these guys are getting way out in front of themselves. And yeah, if they do pull off the upset, congratulations. Good for them. I'll give credit where credit is due, but I just don't see.
I see the 42 points you're saying, but I mean, this team still beat Pittsburgh. They were over more than a touchdown underdog in this game against Pittsburgh. And the score was, to be honest, the score wasn't even indicative of what that game was. Like, yeah, they got 42 points, but one can argue that those touchdowns that Pittsburgh scored, a lot of those touchdowns, the two Antonio Brown touchdowns, the Martez Barrett touchdowns, those are great plays by receivers who are elite. And not only that, the Jaguars corners play those guys perfectly. They just make great plays in the end.
Well, another thing too is the Jaguars did have the advantage of having played them earlier in the year and beating them. So they had seen them. They haven't seen the Patriots. They haven't played the Patriots yet this year. I know they had the training camp stuff, early way back when, like a million years ago back in preseason, but that's not going to do them any good. I just think that the Jaguars are way too cocky for a team going up into New England in January to have to play the defending champions. I mean, the spread's been all over the place too. It started at 9.5. I've seen it go as low as 7. I just checked it a couple minutes ago. It's 7.5. I mean, that's a lot of points for a playoff game. I just think that, the Jaguars are getting way too much credit. And this is the team that's, beat Buffalo 10-3 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I know the most recent game is the shootout in Pittsburgh that they won, but I just think Blake Bortles is not going to be able to do enough to get it done. I mean, and everyone says he's going to have the game of his life, the game of his life. I mean, this is New England in January. I mean, I don't see it. I mean, I'll be very humbled. Believe me, I'll be very humbled that the Jaguars is going to pull off the upset. But I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. And if all you got to go on is last week's game, you're going to have to do better than that.
I definitely agree with you on one thing, that this is going to be a Blake Bortles game. Like, if they win this game, it's because Blake Bortles actually had a great game. Not just a good game. Not just a game he had. It's go beyond just what he did the last 2 weeks against both Buffalo and Tennessee, not Tennessee, and Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Like, he has to have to play a great game. He has to go part Brady to win this game. Because look, the Jaguars defense will show up, but
then I just don't see it.
I agree with you, and that's the thing. Like, I can see the Jaguars defense playing well and trying to keep within arm's length, but if Bortles throws picks, the only thing you can do on defense, really. So this is the Blake Bortles game. This is a Blake Bortles come of age. I'm here. I'm arrived game. This is the spot here where you say, okay, if he comes big in this game, then maybe the tide is turning by Bortles in his career. That I will agree with there.
And I just don't see it. I mean, at times he shows signs of being good, not great. He shows signs of being good. He doesn't have a lot of weapons. They've got a decent running back. But I just, if the defense has a game like last week, it's going to be double digit. It's going to be a double digit victory.
Right. So obviously you see the Pats win this game. I actually had the Jaguars on the points. a nine point. I think this game will be a little bit closer than people think. But the Pats will win this game. I have no doubt about that. The Pats will win this game. Probably like I see a 31, 23, 34, 27 type of game. Maybe they get a garbage touchdown late in the game. But this will be a pass control game, definitely. So
I think so too.
Yeah. All right, second game here is the 6:40 p.m. kickoff game in the NFC that pits the Minnesota Vikings going to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. Eagles, of course, with a surprising win against Atlanta. You know, they have the bulletin board material now. You know, no one believes in us. And again, this is the second week in a row. They're at home and they're underdogs. Meanwhile, the Vikings miraculously beat the New Orleans Saints last week in that great playoff classic against the Saints. You know, this is the game where, and I'll be honest with you, like I think Minnesota might be the most balanced team of all the four teams left in this tournament. But there's definitely some concern. Like last week's, like I've been saying all week long, one of the concerns with the Vikings I have right now is the fact that their offensive line, and this trend actually started toward the end of the year, has gotten a little bit leaky. Like they've actually have not played consistently well from game to game. And you saw in the second half of that game against the Saints that the Saints front four started getting the Keenum, which is actually what turned the game around for the Saints really in the second half. And I think the Eagles, if they can expose that in this game, especially early, this game could flip pretty quickly for the Eagles.
I'm not even sure what to expect from Nick Foles.
Yeah.
From everything I'm hearing, it seems like he's really determined to make good. And why not? I mean, why not Nick Foles? Why not? I mean, he's been a decent backup. He hasn't blown any games for them. So, I mean, he's got just as good of a shot as Case Keenum of pulling this off. It's in his backyard. The weather won't be a factor. I'm looking forward to this is going to be a good game. I'm actually concerned about Thielen from Minnesota. He got a little banged up in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not 100%, I know everybody's talking about Diggs right now, but Thielen is their main guy. Yeah, I mean, if Thielen's a little banged up, that's going to hurt Minnesota.
Oh, no doubt.
That'd be the one concern if I'm a Minnesota fan. If Thielen is a little banged up and he's not 100%.
I mean, we can all agree that, you know, Nick Foles is not Carson Wentz. We all agree with that. Nick Foles is a good quarterback. He's not a terrible quarterback. He's a solid quarterback, okay? Carson Wentz makes the Eagles special. And that we know, okay? We know that Carson Wentz is among the top 5, 10 quarterbacks in the league. But the game plan is simple here for the Eagles. And you saw it last week's Atlanta. And I don't know if it's because like when I picked Atlanta last week to win that game against Philadelphia, it wasn't about Philadelphia not being good enough to beat Atlanta. It was about what we've seen from Atlanta in recent weeks that let us believe that they could walk into Philadelphia regardless. I might not even pick Atlanta to win that game even with Carson Wentz playing on the field, honestly. It was about Atlanta and experience and what they have done. Not just, you know, in the full year of, you know, going to Super Bowl last year, but also in recent weeks. And I think we may have undersold Philadelphia a little bit too much than we thought. Now, look, they didn't play well to end the year, obviously. But when you have a bye week and you're able to correct those mistakes, you know, having 2 weeks off, that's an advantage. And Philadelphia, it wasn't pretty on Saturday last week, but they got the job done. I mean, their defense played well. They showed up. And Nick Foles played mistake-free football. And that's all you can ask for. I mean, and look, there is, unlike many things we've seen in the NFL, there is precedence for a backup quarterback on short notice winning Super Bowls. There is precedence for this.
Right. I agree with everything you just said. I, too, had Atlanta because of the experience. My knock on Atlanta was they haven't been able to put together many 60-minute games where they have like these brain farts. And not like they haven't, but I just think that Philadelphia, and maybe there is more to Nick Foles than we're giving credit because he wasn't the starter. But the thing is, maybe he could be a starter. Probably not on Philadelphia. And his one, he had that one, you know, stint as a starter in Philadelphia where he did pretty good. Then he got injured, tried going somewhere else, didn't really get it done. But, I mean, he's kind of proven that next year he could be a starter somewhere. He doesn't have to be Carson Wentz's backup. He can go somewhere and he can be a starter. And he'll there'll be another quarterback that'll be sought after. We're gonna have to do a podcast on this for all the quarterbacking.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. During all season. Yeah, I'll say what Nick Foles, if he wins this game and he impresses again, he's another guy on the market that'll probably be sought after by other teams. No doubt about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, if he wins this game and goes to a Super Bowl, absolutely. But I will say this: if Jacksonville does pull off the upset and Philadelphia makes it to the Super Bowl, and we got a Jacksonville-Philadelphia Super Bowl, I mean, oh my God, that has about as much drama as a Dancing with the Stars rerun. That's not going to be a very exciting game. So let's hope that doesn't happen. I mean, it's got to be New England, and you know, Philadelphia wouldn't be bad, but I think everybody's rooting for that New England Minnesota.
Well, the intriguing part would be the Patriots. I mean, of the four teams, they're the most intriguing team because they have the history, of course. But you know, it's Jack, let's face it, you have people. Majority of the country is rooting against New England. You know what you're wishing for. You know, that's the kind of the catch too here. Like, you have most of the world rooting against the Patriots, but yeah, they don't want a boring Super Bowl. Well, if we want the right Super Bowl, you want the Patriots in there.
Yeah, you gotta have them in there so you can root against them. And either way, it's gonna be a team that's never won a Super Bowl. So that'll add, you know, and the fact that it's Minnesota playing at home, that'll add to the drama. So there's a lot of potential storylines going on, but it's got to involve New England. It really does.
Of course, no doubt.
It's not sexy enough, is it?
That said, I think Minnesota. I think they got the wake-up call last week. I think they know what to do. And I think Case Keenum is the real deal. I've been saying last part of the year that he's has been phenomenal. And even when he struggled against last week against New Orleans, he found ways to stay in the game. He found ways to make plays. He took him down the field twice to win that game against New Orleans. So he deserves real credit. And I think Minnesota is just a better team overall. Like, I would even feel good if Carson Wentz was playing this game, honestly, about Minnesota's chances. I think they're the better team, period. And I don't see Minnesota failing here. I think they got their wake-up call last week against New Orleans, and I think they'll take care of business against Philadelphia. What you got?
I like Minnesota too because, like I said, the weather. If it had been a cold and nasty day outside and snow and rain and all that stuff, I think it favors Philadelphia because, of course, Minnesota plays in a dome. But with the weather not being a factor, it's going to be in the 40s with no rain or wind or snow. I think it balances off in Minnesota with that 3-point spread. I think that's pretty accurate. I think it's a 3-point game. The bookies going to lose their money. I think it's going to be a 3-point Minnesota win.
So we have our Vikings Patriots Super Bowl matchup that we predict, as we said before the playoffs even started. There we go.
Yeah, looks like it. That's what I'm meaning.
All right, Boston Jack. Well, we'll see. We'll reconvene you next week and talk about the Super Bowl. Good job, man.
Yeah, I'm either going to be very cocky or very humble.
Hey, either way, it's authentic you, as always.